I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scandling Center here at Hobart and William Smith. And this is the Hobart Football Podcast, episode 52. Hobart hits the road for Schenectady and the Union Garnet Chargers. And I have my fine jar ready because I'll call them by their old name at least a couple of times this week, I know. Joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Good morning.
So before we talk about this RPI game, let's just pause for a minute and look at the big picture. You're 1-4. Things are not going the way you drew them up at the beginning of the year. What's your message to your team right now, and what's your message to the people listening to this podcast?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously it starts there's nobody that's beating themselves up a little bit more than the staff and the players. And we have a pretty passionate fan base, and I know no one likes where we're at right now, and it's the reality of where we're at. There's a lot of factors. We've had a lot of good conversations with our team about, like, there's a lot of outside noise, there's a lot of excuses, there's a lot of things, and we call them factors, because at the end of the day, they're factors, but they're things that we can still choose how we respond to it. And, frankly, especially the RPI game, that was not who we are. I knew it right afterwards, I knew it on the sideline, we talked about it, through it. There was some factors in that game that as we were just talking about, things kind of fell, didn't go our way, and it really kind of fell apart pretty quickly, and it felt like an avalanche there. That being said, it's how we respond, and I think that, yesterday we had, I think it was 26 guys out of practice. That's a factor. There's a lot of factors that go into it, but it was also one of our best practices. So it's about what we can control, and I think a lot of people on the outside don't always know the factors that our players are going through. And so I'll always have our players' backs and our staff's backs in terms of, it's not the outcomes that we want, no doubt, but the process that, some people see for 2 or 3 hours on a Saturday, they don't see, what happens throughout the week. And honestly, some of the factors that were, not in our control, we have to do a better job responding to. But at the end of the day, just trusting that we have each other's backs and the cohesiveness that we need to be a great team. And the reality is we can be a good team. I think we're going to continue to fight. We didn't do that as well as we had been doing in earlier weeks. And that was one of the things that, we watched film on Sunday, but it was more about a really good look in the mirror of, like, who are we and what's this team going to be? So, I think I hope we've got the right guys that are going to lead and respond. And I think that was the biggest challenge, is like control what we can control, and at the end of the day, it's about how we compete, how we have the resolve, how we fight through when things aren't going our way. Because there was a lot of factors that I'm sure we'll talk about in that RPI game that we just need to do a better job responding to when things started to not go our way.
One of the factors is injuries, and we always kind of talk about injuries in terms of who's out, but sometimes it's who's in, gutting it out the best they can, but not 100%. And I assume you've had quite a few guys in that category this year.
Yeah, and again, that's a huge factor. I mean, there's no downplaying that, and I've tried to make sure that it's never been an excuse, but and that started in preseason. I can tell you examples of positions that we've had to change how we prepared, and even some of the schemes we were doing because of that through the first 2 weeks of preseason. It hit us early in week one against Alfred, and it hasn't stopped since. There hasn't been a game where we've had starters out, which I know affects every team, but like, I'll be honest, in RPI, I don't know if there's ever been a game we had 12 starters not be able to play that started the game, not even counting the guys that weren't. And then you also have guys out there in cast and guys that probably there's another 4 or 5 that shouldn't have been playing, but were playing because of just toughness and the will to try to help the team. So, again, yesterday we talked about over a quarter of our team wasn't able to practice. And so it's no doubt it's affecting us, and it's who's out. We're losing some players. We're losing some athleticism, explosiveness, and honestly, more important, experience. And who's in is now you're throwing guys in there. There was a couple situations we were talking with our staff this morning that happened because you have first year next to a first year next to a first year, and that's great. You're getting young guys ready to go, but like you lose some experience, you're losing some strength, you're losing some different things that, if they had earned that spot right out of preseason, they would have been the ones. But we're getting a lot of experience. We have 2s, 3s, and 4s playing a pretty good amount of minutes. So not the reason we lose, have lost, but like sometimes those guys haven't been in those moments when something doesn't go your way to be able to respond. And that's what we put the focus on, is like everyone's trying their hardest. No one's trying to make mistakes, but we are making more mistakes than we typically do. And we've also played experienced, talented opponents that haven't honestly, for most teams we've been. They've had senior quarterbacks, they've had older O-lines, and they've been able to capitalize on it. And that's where, and I can show you two or three tangible plays in the first quarter that if we don't make that mistake, that's a different first half. And now all of a sudden, you know, it's a game that goes the distance. And again, I like our chances to fight for 60 minutes. And really, Saturday was the first time I can remember a long time, especially at home, where we didn't really respond well when things didn't go our way. And that's a huge part of the sport. It's a huge part of sport and life in general. So I think we learned a really valuable lesson, and I think that's where you asked about the conversations. We're going to keep it real with our players. And honestly, you asked about the people that listen. We have some really loyal people that probably see the big picture, and there's a lot of people who, you know, get caught up in moments where they don't always understand the true story. I can't affect and control what they think. I just know that I'm going to trust the process of what we're doing day to day to try to mentor and help these guys grow and learn. And at the end of the day, we're learning some valuable lessons right now, not the way we want, but guess what? In life, there's a lot of times things aren't going the way you want. It's what you earn. And I've been really clear on that. It's not what you want. I know we want things different. It's what we earn. And right now, we're not earning it the way we need to. And I think it started with yesterday's practice and preparation to the morning workouts, to everything. It's like everyone just got to do their 1/11th a little bit better. If we do, all of a sudden, it's not about, you know, hey, Ted, you got to do this, and you know, Bob, Joe, Frank, you got to do this. It's like, all right, what do I have to do to be a little bit better and lift up my teammates? Versus there was a couple times, and this is where it gets hard, you know, because all of a sudden you're not where you want to be. Guys start to, like, try to do someone else's job or help, and it might have good intention, but it's not helping. And again, we talked about it in life. It's easy to point out mistakes. It's easy to point out failures. Being solution-based, solution-focused, as opposed to finding problems, you can go anywhere in life. It's easy for people to point out and find problems. It's the problem solvers, and that's what we're looking at, is guys who want to be a part of the solution, and I think we got some good guys that are ready to do that. You know, honestly, we knew we were playing a heavy, strong schedule early. It just happened to be that we weren't at full strength. Some of these other teams were. That was a huge factor. It's not the reason that we've always lost, but it hasn't helped in some of those situations.
It looks to me, if there's one factor that I've seen overall in terms of execution, it's the line of scrimmage on both sides. You're not getting any push offensively, and opponents are getting a great push. I mean, their running back, White, was good for 3 or 4 yards pretty much every time he touched the ball.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. And this is, you know, talk about another factor. 2, 3, 4 years of some recruiting challenges has affected depth. And again, that's not one person's issue, but like the line of scrimmage is where the game is usually won and lost, barring a, you know, turnovers and some of the other things. And that's another example of like we're not healthy. You know, we started a different offensive line and we lost two starters in the flow of that game that didn't finish. And, you know, it wasn't the only reason we didn't execute, but it didn't help. And same thing, teams. Yeah, and I look at it on how we need to play complementary football, and I say this often because I truly believe it. Like, it's a 7-0 game. We're going down to go tie it. I mean, we're literally where we need to be, and we fumble a snap that we can't recover, and that's on us. Really, really bad opportunity to have a bad play. But if we make that play, it's 7-7, and all of a sudden they go down like 2 plays or 3 plays later, and it's 14-0. And it was at that point where I looked around, and again, on that same field 2 years ago against that same RPI team, we were down 14-0 and came back and won a game because that team believed and had a little bit more experience, toughness, and resolve, and we battled back. I mean, there's 3 quarters. There's plenty of time to come back. And that's where, like, we looked around, and again, we have another good drive, and we turned it over. What we hadn't done, you know, the last couple of games, the offense hadn't turned the ball over very much, minus the first game against Alford. And, you know, the turnovers hurt us significantly in that first half in particular. And that's the, you know, every time we're driving, we found a way to make a mistake, or, you know, again, someone, you know, had a my bad type of play, and all of a sudden, you know, we don't get those type of plays back. And I said, no one needs to play perfect, but we're making some inopportune mistakes of guys who know better. They don't mean to do it, but like those plays are keeping us from scoring points, which in that type of game, especially because of the injuries that we had on the defense side of the ball, we allowed RPI to stay exactly where they wanted to be. They had a lead. They were able to lean on us. And, you know, we have to look at all three phases as a part of that. And honestly, when we watched video, that was about as bad as all three phases have played at any point this year. And unfortunately, it all happened at the same game against a good team. I think RPI is going to have a really good chance. I think they might be the most complete team up to this point that we've played. And again, I don't know because that wasn't Hobart football on Saturday. I can say that both from a fighting and resolve piece, we're better than that. And that was the challenge for the guys. It's like at the end of the day, like let's go compete and play the standard that we would need to play at. But no doubt the line of scrimmage, and I don't know, you can't magically change it. I would love to, if you got any 6'5", 300-pound athletic, smart tackles available and guards and D-tackles, let me know. Like, we've worked and we like the guys we have, but we're a work in progress at the line of scrimmage. And that's you know, we had morning meetings with our staff going through the game plan and what we're trying to do, and a huge part of that is how we're going to stop the run, how we're going to try to run the ball, how we're trying to protect the quarterback. Like, if you can't do those things well, doesn't matter what else we're doing.
It looked to me defensively throughout this year we've been saying the D will hold them close, the offense will come around, and we'll be all set. But the D couldn't hold them close Saturday. Was there anything particular RPI did? Or I know you talked about, obviously, the injuries. What changed defensively in that game?
Yeah, I mean, RPI chose to take the ball, so they had confidence in their offense against our defense. You don't see that very often. They go out, our defense does a good three and out. We get the ball back, and, you know, same thing offensively. We had a play that, you know, early on we take a negative play on something that we can control, and then you go to that third down, you know, execution we've talked about, and a huge part of that is because we're taking some negative plays that puts us in third and long. We punt the ball back, and now they score on six straight possessions. And not all the defense's fault, but a lot of those were plays where, like, you know, a good positive play, and, you know, at that point we were playing a bunch of young DBs. We missed a couple things in coverage. A lot of teams are, what they're trying to do is bring in extra O linemen, extra tight ends, and go as big as possible and just lean on us. And, you know, we're a base 3-man front. We've been playing a lot of 4-man front. So it's not even that. Like, we're playing as many as we can, especially with the injuries we've had at the linebacker position. You know, we're mixing up fronts, we're mixing up looks. And again, like at one point, like there was two or three young safeties right next to one another. They're talking and communicating, and, you know, Alex Smith and Mike McGee and Noah and some of the seniors are trying their best, but you got a bunch of young guys next to you that you can't only just focus on doing your job. You got to try to help two or three other guys do their job. So the more that we can get experienced by these younger guys to then go out and do their job well, and it's not just one young guy, it's a lot of them. We're playing a lot of young guys. It's the reality of it. You know, Mike McGee's out there with, you know, cast on his hand, and we got guys limping, and guys are playing hard, but like we lost two starting inside linebackers in the first quarter, or excuse me, two linebackers in the first quarter. At one point we lost our corner, we lost our safeties. So I think a part of the defense was looking around and just, wait a minute, what's going on? And every time I felt like every time, you know, I'm turned around talking to the offense or getting ready, there's a blown whistle because we have an injured guy in the field. There was literally, like I said, losing 12 starters through a course of a game. And then it affected a little bit of the special teams depth. I mean, it was like, you know, we have depth charts and we go through, and all of a sudden, like, he can't go on these two special teams. You got the next guy. So the staff was communicating, but there were so many. At one point, like, our trainers we didn't have enough trainers for the amount of injured guys we had. So that was a factor. And I don't know if that's, you know, if guys kind of looked back and at one point, if they thought the lead was insurmountable, it wasn't. I mean, I can say even when we came back, the really first drive coming out of the second half, that's huge for us. We go down, we should be able to score and make it a two-possession game. And, again, we have a player who's, I trust, had a great week of preparation, was prepared for the moment. But when that moment was called, he wasn't ready for it. And I don't have the answer. I wish I did. You know, we've had numerous conversations with our players. It's not one button. It's not like, hey, if we fix this, it's a bunch of little buttons. And if you think of like a leak, if there's two or three leaks, you know, you can stop one and the other one, we have to do a good job. Everyone just kind of taking care of their own leak. It's not a flood yet. And honestly, like I said, I think we've played good teams that we should have a better record. And again, if we win a couple of those close games, maybe that game against RPI, there's a different confidence level. And I think it all stems together, but without a doubt, we have to do a better job getting stops. We have to do a better job scoring earlier. We have to do a better job on special teams. Like, we got beat on special teams. We don't do that very often, and they clearly beat us on special teams, and that's a huge part of us. We're playing a lot of young guys out there because the guys who've been really good on special teams were either out with injuries, or we've tried to rest some guys by getting younger guys out there. And so it's been a good challenge, and that's how I look at it. It's a challenge, and I think our guys – if we have the standard that I want our guys to have, I think they're going to respond and hopefully have a better week this week.
Third downs just still kill you. You went 0 for 8 in that game, and being the stat geek, I went home after the game and I looked at every third down play this year. You've completed 11 passes on third down, only three of them to the line to make for the first down. Is that a mistake? Obviously, you can't throw every ball past the line to make, but a lot of times you're throwing underneath, getting a catch, but coming up short.
I think it goes back to the pass protection. If you saw, like, our quarterback did not have as much time on Saturday as we would
have
liked.
Didn't have any
time. Yeah. So, again, I'm not calling out one group, but, right. Like, when it's third and long, if you're a defensive coordinator and you know the other team is having struggles protecting the quarterback and you have to wait longer for receivers to get a certain distance, it's a matter of, like, there was one third down I put a max protect in. Guys weren't open. If you get more guys out in the route, then it's compromised protection. So there's a lot of different reasons for it. But I also think in certain situations, sometimes to get a completion and put it in a guy's hands, they can make a play. And we have some good receivers and running backs that if you put it in their hands and tight ends, if you put it in their hands, maybe they can go run for it. I think that stat is important. But like when we're really good, a lot of times we're doing work on first and second down, you don't get to third down. So yes, we do need to convert a higher third down percentage. But if you look at it, and I can go to a couple of those in the first half alone, you know, the first series, we took a minus run. Literally the first play, we lose 3 yards, which should have been we blocked it wrong. That was a new guy playing in that position. Not okay, but he knew better, but he didn't execute. The second series, we had a personal foul on something happened on the sideline that affected us, that put us back. And all of a sudden, we're calling, I believe it was second and 23 and third and 23. You know, third and 23, you're not going to execute a ton. The next series, we're driving, we're fine. And all of a sudden, you know, that's when we had the turnover. Like, so I'm saying, like, that was a sack on a six-man protection that ideally our first read should have been open. He didn't create separation. The quarterback should have thrown it away. He didn't. He takes a sack, you know. And again, it just that's where everyone needs to trust that the other guy's going to be able to do his job. And if it's not there, either we have to throw it away or get a check down or something along those lines. But you're right. I mean, I think it's a fine line. Yes, we want to have more throws past the sticks to get the first downs, but I also marries up to how well are we protecting, what can our receivers do and tight ends do, what can our quarterbacks do. And again, I wish there was a one quick answer. We've tried quick game. We've tried max protect. We've tried different concepts. Here's what I did as a coordinator. We didn't call anything on Saturday that we did not run in preseason or hadn't been running for more than 3 weeks. So there wasn't one time a single guy on offense didn't know their assignment. It wasn't like we're not changing up week to week. We have added in the past weeks some different looks because I want to challenge defensive coordinators to see something new and have to be talking to their defense through the sideline. That was not the case. So like now we didn't execute much better on things we've been running for 5 or 6 weeks. So that's to me the concerning piece is like we know better. Like we're having honest conversations. The guys know what they need to do. We're just not consistently able to fulfill our assignment, and that's a part of the depth and the injuries. But it also comes back to we have to be able to have guys that can own the fact that they need to execute a little bit better. And we were having those honest conversations with the guys, and believe me, as a staff, there's no one spending more time watching film and going through planning and talking to our players. So we're working as hard as we can to try to get the right guys in the right situations. At the end of the day, we also need to know, like, we're running the same schemes of teams that have been undefeated league champs and everything else. We have to execute better with the guys that are running it. So it's a slippery slope of trying to find that happy medium in that third down conversion of, like, let's do better on first and second down, but let's also make sure, can we protect the quarterback? Can we run it? Like, a couple third and longs, I've run it because that's worked in the past. We weren't able to do that very well on a couple of third downs. So, like, some of those third downs, I was calling some things to try to set us up for fourth down. So, like, all right, I don't care about the third down conversion. Are we in better shape for the fourth down? So, like, that's where I said stats, data, I get it. It's all important. At the end of the day, there's the only thing that matters. Do we have more points than the other team at the end? And we did not. So, like, we're going to go back and figure out what can we do better with our staff, with our players, all three phases. And that's how we've attacked this week, like any other week, trying to get our 1-0. And I think we've learned a lot from every game. Whether you win or lose, you learn a lot if you're really growth mindset. And I think that's what we're looking at, is what can we learn so that if we're in those similar situations, we can perform at a better level if the opportunity presents itself this week.
Does that, knowing the assignments, does that carry over to who's on the field? It seems like you've had more trouble getting your personnel in place than I've seen in years past. You wanted to go to the Wildcat at one point and either got a delay or had to burn the timeout.
Yeah, so more moving parts. And I think that's the interesting part, is like as you add moving parts, it's how the communication comes in. And on that one, it was we could have got it off. I just, with where we were in the high score zone, I didn't want to take a chance. So we would have been able to do it. That was the more to make sure, again, trying to be as efficient as possible. I'm like, let's not take a negative play here when we were should have been in a good spot. So, yeah, I think there's been a couple of those. No doubt, I think, especially earlier in the season, as we had more moving parts. I think last week there was less, where there was more moving parts, is there was a situation we had to call a timeout because we had 12 men on the field on defense. That was partly because of injuries and packaging. And, you know, it's like, imagine right now, we don't keep the same personnel on every single play. So
right.
You got, I mean, 12, 15 different type of packages, and all of a sudden one guy could affect seven of those packages. So there's a lot of moving parts. We've communicated it, but it's also relying on 18, 19, 20-year-olds to communicate really well. And
yeah.
So there was a couple of those situations, and I felt like actually special teams-wise, we were probably challenged more there because of all the injuries. Because on there, then you have a combination of both offensive and defensive guys. Like if a receiver goes down, it's myself and the receiver's coach talking. And if a defensive back goes down, it's the defensive coordinator and the defensive back's coach. Well, if it's a special team, it might affect, where there's eight special teams plus some situations that could affect four or five special teams, and how we do it, we share it. We have two special teams coordinators, and they did a fantastic job communicating. But one of those was 100% one guy who was out, then got the approval to come back, needs to communicate, and it's like...
So he thinks he's in, and the other guy thinks he's in.
All that happened in the flow of, like, bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
Like, the game doesn't slow down. There's a lot of moving parts in the flow of the game. And again, as much as we have a system in place for communication, it also does rely on the players to communicate. And so, again, another growth opportunity. We've talked through that as a team, and hopefully if that presents itself, it won't occur again moving forward.
Road game at Union Saturday at 1:00. Talk about Coach John Drock. You guys spent a lot of time together making schemes.
Yeah, no, I know Coach Drock obviously very well. He was when I was here as the offensive coordinator. He was our quarterback coach for years. Know him obviously professionally and personally well. Helped him get the job there. So I'm excited to see that he's done. Last year they had a tough year, and there's a lot of things that can kind of come undone as you're trying to put yourself in the new year. But like, I thought he's done a phenomenal job. The team's playing well. They are a very experienced team. And again, the common theme we play, like there's a lot of experience on their side of the ball. I think offensively they have a really dynamic quarterback that they're doing a lot through him as most of the offense goes through the quarterback. And then on defense, the number one sack, number one tackle for loss team that we're going to face in our conference up to this point. They do a phenomenal job with majority of those guys coming back, being really aggressive up front. So it's doing really well, and obviously going there, it's a place that the rivalry's kind of changed over the years because they've had so many different head coaches and they've been down and up, and but I think anyone that knows the rivalry of you go back 15, 20, 30 years, you're asking alums, they know that that's always been a big one. And it's going to be homecoming weekend there for them. I know there'll be a big turnout, both our fans and alums, and obviously their turnout. And When you take the field, you put the personal relationship aside. You wish each other luck and hope everyone stays healthy, and then we'll shake hands after the game and all that. But they got a good team, and it's going to be a good challenge for our guys to go on the road. And it's been a while since we beat them there, so it's going to be a good challenge for our guys.
Talked about the quarterback, Patch Flanagan. He leads the league in rushing, and he's a great passer. Can you assign a spy to him, or can you afford to do that? Because that kind of takes one guy out of the defense if he's having to watch that quarterback everywhere he goes.
Yeah, it's a great question, Ted, and we've talked about it too ad nauseum probably, is like, how do you, because you have to stop the run. Be different if it's, we faced some quarterbacks so far this year that are maybe more pocket passers that, they got out of the pocket a little bit, but they want to throw. He wants to run. And again, like, I think he and EJ might be the top two rushers in the conference. To do it as a quarterback, Like, they're not afraid of him just running between the tackles. He's a tough kid. And again, I thought he played well against us last year. So we're going to have to do a good job. But, like, I don't know if you can merit just putting one spy on him because they run it to the right, to the left, inside, outside. So, like, if it's a scrambling quarterback, that's usually pocket passes and then go. Like, they're calling set runs for him. So I think we got to run our base defense. There'll be a couple situations where, in certain passing downs, longer distances, where you might be able to, think about just keeping him in the pocket a little bit more. But he's also a very, capable quarterback to throw, and he's got some good weapons outside. So, I think we got to do a good job stopping and slowing down the offense first before we can focus just on spying him. And I think to do that, I think everyone's got to own the fact, like, when you go against a really dynamic offensive player, everyone needs to know, like, all right, especially the rushers, they got to know, like, all right, I still need to collapse the pocket and keep him in there. But it's different when you know there's not a threat to run. And I think the line of scrimmage, you said it earlier, it's going to be really important again this week because they run a lot of different schemes that our D-line is going to have to really show up and play physical and be more of a factor than we were, honestly, the last game or two. Our linebackers are playing hard, obviously with a handful of injuries. So, like, I think our front in particular is going to have to do a really good job trying to, just make sure that we limit the amount of big plays that quarterback can have running the ball. And then in the secondary, and again, you're going to see some different faces, and it's going to be some younger guys out there. They have very capable receivers, but we also need to trust to try to slow down their run. We're going to probably have to put a little bit more up front and put a little bit more onus on the guys on the back end to, whether it's zone or man, to be able to play the ball in the air and see if we can kind of slow down their run game.
Against a team like them and a quarterback like this, it's the defensive ends, it's tough because you just want to charge up field. Muff always used to talk about this. You can't run past the play. You got to turn everything inside, but you can't just fly in there so deep that before you know it, he's behind you.
Yeah, pass rush integrity, like we could talk an hour about the importance of it. And you're right, sometimes some young aggressive guys just feel like, hey, I'm beating this tackle or a tight end upfield. Well, that's great, but like you're opening up lanes for that guy to come through. So, yeah, when we talk about pass rush integrity, we're looking at the edge rushers, which sometimes that could be a corner, a safety, an outside linebacker, all the way through to a D end or a looping D tackle. So it's a lot of different guys in our defense that can have that role. But knowing how you fit together, and imagine like – you're trying to catch a rabbit in the backyard, you got to have really good integrity or else that thing's just going to keep running through. And I think that's what we're trying to do, is make sure that our DNs or our outside rushers, yes, you want to influence so he can't get up and outside, but you can't create such a hole between, the B or the A gap rusher, and all of a sudden there's a seam for him to press through. And I think that's where he does a really good job, where some quarterbacks look to escape outside. And we tried it with our quarterbacks. We'd rather push through the pocket than escape outside. There's just more threat, and you can get up some positive yards right away that way. So, I think it's going to be a combination of our DNs, D-tackles, linebackers, anyone that we're going to be bringing on a pass rush or trying to fit in on some of their outside runs, to have that understanding of, like, how I can be aggressive. We need to go shoot our shot, but also making sure that we're not doing something that's going to now put more stress on a teammate by giving him a larger lane to run into.
Defensively, their line isn't big, but boy, they're disruptive. I mean, they all have 20 tackles and 10 tackles for loss. What do they do on the D line that makes them so disruptive?
Yeah, you're right. Like, we face bigger D lines. This one, they move a ton. So you're going to see movement and stunts on first, second, third, and fourth down. They have two stand-up guys that, are DNs, but they were bigger linebackers that kind of grew into DN-type bodies. So it's a good scheme of what they're doing, a ton of movement. So, like, movement typically slows down offensive linemen. It lets them, like, be hesitant, which now makes those D-linemen more athletic because D-linemen or O-linemen are playing a little hesitant. So we got to be confident in what we're trying to do, both run and pass protection-wise. And then the other part is, like, they have one nose inside is really stout. He's a captain for him, number 97. He's a strong player. He doesn't get moved very much. And then they have really good quickness from the other DN and the other D tackles. And then I think the other part is, especially as of late, teams have been playing behind, and all of a sudden now it's kind of what we saw. The two games we've struggled the most in pass protection were the two games we kind of fell behind, that second half against Elford and against RPI, where I want to be balanced. I want to keep our running game involved. And again, we did. I think EJ had a really strong game. We just the score got out of hand too soon for us to do it as long as I wanted to. And when you do that, all of a sudden now it allows defensive coordinators, D-line, linebackers to pin the ears back and go. And that's where, you know, we were able to stay a little bit more balanced in those games that either we have the lead or we're in a one-possession game. That's a huge part of our plan is obviously always to try to get the lead, but more importantly, so that defensive line can't just pin the ears back and go. And I think that's what happened the last three games. Unions jumped on their opponents pretty quickly, and all of a sudden now some of those teams have been a little bit more pass heavy, and all of a sudden now they can get into a little bit more of their pass rush techniques a little bit more because they're not defending the run as much.
All right, Hobart at Union, Frank Bailey Field. If you've never been there, parking can be a little bit tricky. There's lots all over the place, but get there early to get a good spot. It's a great atmosphere, a great place to watch a game. You can get this podcast wherever you go to get podcasts, and you can get all your athletics news at hwsathletics.com. Welcome flag football to the family starting in 2027 for the Herons. Coach, thanks. You answer every question, you know, make excuses, and winning streaks start with one win.
You got it, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to work on getting our 1-0 this week, and as always, appreciate your support of all our guys.